Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back here again this evening. I think we must be teaching the new birth properly or something, huh? Now we just need to spiritualize it. Nothing wrong with the natural. We'll take it. Praise the Lord. If you wouldn't mind standing, we will read from Numbers chapter 16, starting at the 31st verse through the 35th, and then we'll skip down to the verse 41. Are you happy?
Amen.
We'll try to keep it that way. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. They presumed to step in and play the part of the ministry. They weren't called to do it. We'll skip down to the 41st verse. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. So this is one day later. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to give praise to your name once again upon our lips, to share the hope of glory that's within us, to testify, to use our members, Lord, to just worship you in spirit and in truth, and just invite your presence once again amongst us, Lord, and to move, to walk the aisles, as it were, and to move into every door. And Father, we open the doors, and we just welcome you to just have your way, Lord, to just move about. We pray that you're blessed. Lord, we pray that this time that we have together is a blessing to you and a sanctuary for you, and that your will would be done here on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Bless each and every one now, Lord, and those that are listening in. And Father, we surely will give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Separate yourself unto the word, part two. The morning after, if you will, the next day, they began to murmur again. Now we know that they're not a born again people. The new birth wasn't an option in the Old Testament. And so they continue to have their ups and downs. But then they accuse Moses of causing an earthquake. That's, you know, first they say there's nothing to them and you presume too much. Now they say you're causing earthquakes. And also of calling fire down upon the people. And I think they're a little confused. Moses certainly had power, but earthquakes and calling down fire? Are they sure they didn't mean Elijah? It's amazing that once you move away from truth, how senseless reasoning becomes. We know that this took place over 3,400 years ago, but you and I are facing the very same spirits today. People die, but spirits move on. Wisdom versus faith. Brother Branham said Moses and Joshua had faith in the word. The others wanted to dance and strip the women. Korah. Why? By his Egyptian wisdom. Moses didn't want that. Look at them Korahs today, making an easy way, dancing, all-night parties, an easy way. Women, bobbed hair, short dresses, anything. Don't make any difference. That's all right. It isn't all right. The word says it's not right. That's right. Same thing, see? Korah would, he had the same baptism that the rest of them did, but what did he want to do? Let the women just dance, and they drank a little wine and had a little time and stripped them off and have adultery and have, you know, the Bible said that they did that. They took those women and stripped their clothes and made them dance and things like that, and Moses became angry with them. You remember the time? Why? They had Dr. Korah along that had wisdom. He said, I'll take you back to Egypt. Friends, that would be like somebody saying to me, I'll take you back to the Baptist church. And I'd say, well, you know, nice seeing you. Why would I want to go back? I didn't enjoy it when I was there. Jude told us that a Korah move will rise up again in the last days. And what does Korah say again today? Oh, God doesn't care how you dress. Now, friends, I realize that this has been misapplied. I realize that there are some that have raised up amongst us that are calling Korahs the guys like me that won't play a tape on Sunday morning.
Right.
Which of you sisters have I asked to strip off and to dance? It's ridiculous.
Right.
You can accuse me of a lot of things, but I'm no Korah. What do they say today? Oh, God don't care how you dress. This makes no difference. That makes no difference. That's the voice of a Korah move. And the new birth is, you know, just shaking hands or saying you believe God sent a prophet or what have you. Part of the Korah move is to take the people from following a prophet of God and take them back to Egypt. Now, when have I ever done that? We're doing just the opposite. My question this evening is, where are they going to go when they leave the move of God? When they leave the present truth? There is no truth outside of the present truth. So the only place that they can go to is back to Egypt, which in our day means back to the world, back to the pig pens, back to the slop, back to the vomit. A dog going back to eat its vomit. What a horrible image that is. And yet it's taking place. One thing's for sure, friends, a Korah move will never bring people closer to God. It'll do just the opposite. In the message, Why Am I Against Organized Religion? How do you really feel, Brother Branham? Brother Branham says, Korah tried to form an organized party against the messenger of God. Far be it from us, Lord. May the Holy Spirit always protect us. I wonder if that could repeat in our day. You think? Why it had to be shepherds. Korah, we all know that he got himself together and complained about God not being just. To do such a thing like that. To make one man with the message. He said, we're all holy. Why can't we have a denomination? And why can't we have a setup like this and do that? So a Korah move is against one man bringing a message. When have we been guilty of that?
Right.
Friends, if you have more than one man, you'll have more than one message.
Right.
And now you got to decide which one's right. That's always God's pattern, and I thank God for it. God's pattern is to always send one man with a message. Keep it simple. In the message, a paradox. Brother Bram says, but you notice, just before they entered into the promised land, the differences that had rose up among them. So today, that would be just before the body change. Just before the rapture. One of the great things was Korah. He didn't want this one-man leadership. Dathan, and how they come up before Moses and tried to tell him that the message had to mean this and put a different interpretation to it. Their own ideas of what it was. And that everyone perished. Everyone. You see why we strike out against that so hard? That's death. This move couldn't come until they got ready to cross over. So where are we at tonight, friends? They were swallowed up by the earth, which, as we saw this morning, is a type of being swallowed up by the world. And the destruction of these men was the vindication that they were wrong. They were looking for a sign, and they were the sign. They were swallowed up by the earth, separated from the true believers, and then the earth closed its mouth. It went, bleh. Afterwards, a fire came down and took out the 250 princes of Israel from among them. All because they were playing with fire. The people were fearful, but these events didn't change their hearts. The leaders were gone, but the infection was still in the camp. These people had been so strongly influenced by these other men that the very next day, they begin to resume the same grumbling. And that's why we are so, you know, you might think we're fanatical in being protective here in the end. But you know what? We are the biggest target on the planet. We are in Satan's Eden, and Satan has given it his best shot. Not his little puny baby stuff, his best stuff. He's going after those that have the truth. Because it's those that will stay with the truth that will allow the rapture to happen. People are saying, well, how's the rapture going to happen? It's not a matter of us doing anything. It's a matter of us stopping the hindrance of the coming of the Lord, as every age has since the first church age because of their unbelief. Verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the capital L-O-R-D. As if God's upset. You killed his children. Huh. Oh, those devils? They'd never seen anything like this in their lives. And they'd seen a lot. The earth opens up, swallows them, closes back up. Can you imagine that, friends? No, you can't. I touched on it this morning. How many's ever been in an earthquake? Isn't it unnerving? You think different thoughts after that. You think, well, what else can I not count on? I mean, when the earth moves under your feet, you start to question a lot of things. Because that's something that you never expect to experience. It's not supposed to move. So when it moves, now you're wondering what else is temporary. The hardness of their hearts numbed them to the judgments of God. Moses and Aaron didn't do this. God did it. And yet they can't face up to the fact that, first of all, they're saying you take too much on yourself, you're powerless, you're this or that. And now they're earthquake causers and fire breathers and volcanic destruction. But they didn't do this. But friends, once you pull away from truth, everything becomes balanced. Grace becomes a disgrace. Their ability to discern left them. Do you realize only the Word can discern? You get away from the Word, you have no discernment. It doesn't go with you. You lose your discernment. The Holy Spirit will not always strive with the hearts of men. We know only the Word can discern. You stay with the Word, you see the truth. You can rightly divide. You can rightly judge. In fact, the church is called to judge. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And we're supposed to judge things in the house of the Lord. Know ye not that you'll judge the world one of these days? So, let me ask you tonight. How can they accuse Moses of causing the deaths of these rebels that were in the midst of the camp? How is that Moses' fault? How did Moses do that? We do know that Moses never asked for mercy for these men. Maybe that's why he's being blamed. Well, why didn't you stand in the gap for them? Because they're a bunch of devils. They are turning against God. And if they're against God, I don't want to be on their, I don't want to be anywhere near them. Though they appear to be turning against Moses and Aaron, they're literally turning against God. When people come against you for your standard, they're not coming against you. They're coming against the Word. And the grace of God is still here. But there'll be a time when there'll be no mercy for that kind of behavior. Verse 42. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. How do I know that happened? How do we know there wasn't a missile launched that day? You're an idiot. Why aren't they questioning this? There was a cloud. It was seen a lot. It's not the first time a cloud appeared. And God was in it. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. So the way that the glory appeared had to do with God's disposition at the time. God's attitude, God's approach, because of the acts of the people. On a normal day, if we could call it that, the glory cloud would hang over the tabernacle, and they could separate the tabernacle from the Shekinah of His presence. But on this day, it's different. They see the tabernacle is engulfed by His presence. Oh. And we see this pattern repeat again in our day, friends. In particular, in the 50s and the 60s. But the glory of God appears in a different form in our day. By His own choice. We still have miracles, but not to the extent that they took place in the early days of this message. And God is choosing to manifest Himself as He wills in our day. And we don't know how to end this up, but He does. And that's why we pray in the Holy Ghost. So the tabernacle was obscured by the glory of the Lord. The cloud covered it. And the Shekinah, the glory, appeared. God is doing something different. The cloud is over the tabernacle of the congregation now. Verse 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Friends, when the glory lifts from this earth, wrath is going to be poured out on the congregation that remains. People think that God's some doty grandpa, that the Old Testament God was angry all the time, but the New Testament God is a new and improved model. You know, He's had anger management, and He'll let you get away with anything. No, it's coming. He's the same one. And His judgment is righteous. His judgment is just. It's just that we're seeing His mercy now and not His judgment. So God told Moses and Aaron, he said, get away from them. Back away so I can destroy them. The New Testament so-called church thinks that God doesn't get angry anymore. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. So anger is not sin. There's righteous indignation that raises up. Now, the day before, God revindicated Moses as his messenger and Aaron as his ministry. But the very next day, they turn against them. God revindicated the message and the messenger and the ministry through the destruction of those that came against them. The work being done today is getting a people ready for a change. Getting a people ready to meet the Lord in the air. Verse 46. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on the incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. Oh, this is amazing, friends. Oh, we don't believe in a fivefold ministry. We do, but they just push play. Well, how'd they do that in Moses' day? How'd they do that in Jesus' day?
Right.
In Paul's day?
Right.
In any other day?
Right.
How does a tape machine make an atonement for you?
Right.
I want you to listen close now, friends. Go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. So God proved and vindicated Moses the day before, and now God is going to prove and vindicate Aaron, who represents the ministry that is under their messenger. Aaron accepted this God-called position that God had given to him, and he was greatly ridiculed and despised because of it. He had no message of his own. But he stood firmly behind the messenger and the message of his hour. Friends, your body change is the Mount Zion showdown. And it is your vindication. When your body is changed, that's the last sign this world's going to see. These other men's backslidings and consequent destruction, well, it proved them as well. I'll tell you what. I don't know about you tonight. Well, I'm pretty sure that you're of the same opinion. But I want my body change to prove me. Not the destruction of my home, not the destruction of my family, and not the destruction of my own life. So he said, Aaron, offer the original fire, but do it quickly as an atonement. But the strange thing about this, Brother Dutch, is that this is an atonement without the shedding of blood. How could that be? What's going on here? This man is not offering blood, but God is telling Aaron to walk among them in his stead, acting out the part of the one who atones on behalf of sin. God sends gifts, and his gifts mean more to us than we perhaps realize. He says, Aaron, hold the incense in one hand and the fire in the other. And of course, the incense represents prayer. And God hears those prayers. And the fire represents the life, his presence. Put the incense on the fire as you go among the people. Put fire to your prayer. So this man's prayer is being offered for the people. Why do you think Paul said, if there be any sick amongst you, call the elders of the church, anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Put the incense on the fire as you go among the people. So this man's prayer is being offered for the people. And it's not some cold confession or some memorized recital, novenas or whatever it is, but it's offered with fire. Amen. It's a living prayer. Psalm 141 verse 2 tells us, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So here we've got another little piece of the puzzle. The uplifting of his hands takes the place of the sacrifice. And that's the position of the elect of God in this hour. Your lifting up of your hands is representing the sacrifice. You're not the sacrifice, but you're an ambassador in his stead. And your prayer is like incense. And you're not bringing a turtle dove, but you're bringing... Oh, friends, I hope somebody gets this tonight. You don't have literal chemical blood that you're offering here tonight, but the lamb sacrifice is in you. Yeah. You're bringing the literal life and offering it on their behalf. That's what take that token and hold it out in prayer means. That's what it means to apply it. It's the life that was in the blood. It's the life that was released from the blood cell. And you are offering it on behalf of others. Do you know what the power... Oh, friends, that's the only life there is. And if you have it, and you're offering it, and when you're offering it on behalf of others, how can it fail? What can hinder it? Which would you rather have tonight? A quart of Jesus' blood? Or the very life that was in that blood? Amen. And your hands lifted up as the evening sacrifice. And the very life that was offered. The very sacrifice in you. You are now a living sacrifice. I always wondered, how can you be a living sacrifice? Because the sacrifice is living in you. Amen. You're not the sacrifice, he is. But he's living in you, so you are now a living sacrifice. There's a different life living in you. So your life is now the life, the literal life of a sacrificial lamb. And your life is his hidden life, or his life hidden in you and revealed in you and through you. So where's the intercession taking place this evening? Come on, church, bring it home. Don't be scared. Don't let it spook you. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's the high priest. Where's he at? Hint, hint, wink, wink. Where's the sacrifice? Hint, hint, wink, wink. Where's the high priest? Where's the life? Where are the guards? What are they guarding? That life. Where's that life? Amen. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1 verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. So the people are on the outside praying, and he is on the inside offering incense. Now that one that is on the inside offering incense is in you now, and you are the tabernacle. So the merging of the prayers with the incense comes up into the presence of God. Revelation chapter 8 verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Friends, there are prayers that were prayed 1,800 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 100 years ago, last night, that will be answered. But there's a time element to it. God hasn't, he's heard every prayer. And they've been collected and held. And they will be poured out. And they will be answered. Offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angels' hands. Now, who has more pull with God? An angel? An archangel? Or a son of God? A daughter of God? Let's pray. Well, you know the answer to that. So Aaron is walking among them as the high priest of God. Now, how is God going to stop this plague? It's already being poured out. I'll tell you how he's going to stop it. Oh, I hope somebody's listening tonight. I hope this sinks down. I hope you get over your petty little human elements and realize that you're here to stop the plague. That you can hold back the plague, the death angel that's being poured out, that's going throughout the land, and you can say, not here, not there. You can intercede, friends. You have that authority. You have that power. And you have that position. Aaron is walking among them as the high priest of God. It's one man with incense and with prayers. 250 came out prior to this. Remember, as we read this morning, they also had incense and fire, and it resulted in death. But here, one man operating according to God's ways. And Moses said unto Aaron, verse 46, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on the incense, and go quickly to the congregation, and make an atonement for them. This is a strange thing. Make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. No blood, no sacrifice. Get out there, Aaron, and reconcile God and man together. Because the plague has begun to fall. Plug up the breach. Friends, the last plague to strike the Laodicean church is death. It's spiritual death. And the plague has begun. Some have already crossed the line. As I've said over and over and over again, we're not trying to point out who did and who didn't. We want to be wise, but we know that it's happening. But for many, there's still hope. So who's going quickly into the congregation with incense and prayers? Who's making an atonement? God is anointing gifted men, called of the Holy Ghost, to reverse this plague that's falling among the people. No wonder Satan is attacking the fivefold ministry. Aaron is to make an atonement without offering shed blood. But the atonement is made in the ministry and by the ministry. The plague is striking the congregation. 14,000 plus are killed in a matter of moments. And these are not the organizations, but these are people that followed the move of God. So imagine the pressure that was on Aaron. Notice this isn't Moses, this is Aaron. Moses directs the ministry in resolving the crisis. He gives them the word concerning how to solve this thing. Apply the token. Oh, friends. Listen, here's your homework assignment this week. Listen to the token message again. Whether it's in Dallas, Texas, or Jeffersonville, or whichever one you want to listen to, listen to it. On one of them, you'll hear him say, I've waited to bring this message for a long time, and this is the most important of anything that I've brought. He said, whatever you do, don't miss this. And then he instructs us on what it is, what it'll do, what to do with it. And then he tells us it's time to apply it. It's token time. It's time. It's the evening time. It was given to us. It's time. Friends, it's not just to entertain us. It's to preserve life. And God wants to act this out, live it out. He's here. But he needs a body to work through. It's his life, his idea. He's looking for somebody to surrender and let that life do what he wants it to do. So Moses directs the ministry in how to resolve this crisis. But notice, he doesn't take part in the solution. He's in the background. It's left to the ministry to take this next step. You know, we hear over and over and over the emphasis on, well, nobody can do this but the prophet. Nobody can do that but the prophet. And here's, you know, the prophet's position, all that. We believe that. We understand that. But there are other positions, too, that nobody else can do. Verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. Ran. This is the guy that was criticized, mocked. They'd have stoned him if they could. He ran into the midst of the congregation. Something's going on here. Something supernatural. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and he made an atonement for the people. So Aaron gets out there and he gets busy. He runs with the fire and with the incense. And he waits until he gets in the middle of death to make an atonement. And he's acting out the part of the high priest. When he gets out there, where he's facing death, he's playing the part of the intercessor. This gifted man, of course, types Christ. And it's the Spirit of Christ. And we know that Christ didn't set fire to the incense until he faced death at Calvary himself. And he stopped death by this act. So this gifted man... He stopped, this gifted man of God, he stopped death by putting on incense and making an atonement without blood. This foreshadows tonight, friends, a people on the earth during the token time, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, I know that sounds so simple, and I know that it's been quoted for 2,000 years. It's never really been lived. And it's about to be manifested and lived out and carried out. God has sent gifted men to drive darkness and death back out of your life. In fact, I was just telling Sister Baker, after service, as we're getting ready to go get something to eat, I'm going to preach against that moody, broody, depressed. Don't even be a Christian if you're going to be that way. The world has a reason. That's how we were before we came to Christ. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're dishonoring God. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light, where's the depression? I'm not saying that we don't all get tempted with with moodiness. We don't all have feelings that we have to deal with. But where's the overcoming? And why would I want to be like you if you're more depressed than I am? Where's the hope? Where's the beef? Where's the evidence? How are you going to help somebody? Oh, I'm going through this or that. Oh, I know, me too. Except it's worse with me. Well, that was helpful. Thanks for sharing. I think I'll just douse myself with gasoline and light the match. I think I'll just throw a rope over the rafter and have a swinging party. You cheered me up. Look, I'm not kidding. I'll pound on this until that demon that you allow in your life is no longer comfortable. And I know it isn't comfortable because it gets mad at me all the time. But I ain't afraid of you. I'm coming in the midst of death and telling it, you must move back. I understand why you're depressed, devil. Your end is near, but mine's just beginning. I've got eternity ahead of me. You got a kicking party ahead of you. Party's about over. You're about to pay the bill. Mom and dad are coming home and the babysitter's going to tell on you. So God has sent gifts. And he's gifted men with gifts to drive back darkness and to drive death back out of your life and to bring life in where there was death. Now, they can't die for you. I can't die for you. I can't die for myself. But they can cast out devils. They can cast out evil spiritual death through the preaching of the word. One censer in the hand of a righteous man can stop the plague. Whereas 250 censers in men who presumed resulted in death. So God is proving his man through this. And Aaron is a type of the ministry under his messenger. And he foreshadowed Brother Andy. And he foreshadowed Brother Eli. And he allowed me to be included with them. I don't deserve it. Now, you can think whatever you want. But God is not the weakling here. And he doesn't have a weak army. He has authority, power, positions. If he had a Moses and an Aaron, he's got a Moses and an Aaron today. Verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. But he's got to go out there and get right in the middle of it. He can't be on the sidelines. A man that could stand between the dead and the living. A man that could cast out devils through the preaching of the word. Friends, that happens all the time. The devils know that. The devils respond. Aaron, not Moses, standing between the dead and the living. If a God-called man with fire and a censer, in other words, filled with the Holy Ghost and prayers, can call off the judgment of God, then what should our attitude be towards the gifts that he has sent to us? I mean, we ought to, at the very least, honor the gifts that he's sent to us. We ought to respect and love the vessels that he uses, but at the very least, have enough intelligence to realize what God has sent amongst us. And use it accordingly. Take advantage of it. Many do. Many come up for prayer. Oh, friends, there's so many testimonies here. There's many that haven't been reported. There's a whole lot that have been reported. It's all Him. But they're operating according to God's program. You know, Jesus became so one of us that Paul said He was not ashamed to call us brethren. So the Lord Jesus was our Aaron. And He's not protecting the earth from the oncoming tribulation. But He is standing tonight between the living and the dead. And if He's in you, you're standing between the living and the dead. And that's why that life is so necessary in this hour. Friends, I don't know how people continue on without an experience with the Lord. And I don't know how they're okay with it. Because you can't overcome. It's not possible. You can't fake it. The things that are coming against us are too strong, too powerful. Only that life will cause Satan to take a step back. Only that life will cause demons to bow. Only that life will keep you. So God looks down with anger and with wrath, and one little guy walks out in obedience to the message and turns the anger of God from the people. And they want to criticize Him. Not too intelligent. So Aaron typifies the Lord Jesus and typifies the true ministry of the Lord Jesus amongst the people. It's always Christ. A man of God will stand and offer you a way out. Do you realize service after service after service, a way out is being offered? You realize there are things that, you know, I told you I'm not going to just continue to harp on it. We've said it enough. The Lord's put it on our heart to bring it about coming to church. And it seems the more we hit on it, the worse it gets. Mercy is being extended to you. If you don't obey that, and you expect mercy, your piddly little excuses. I'm preaching to the choir. Don't get nervous. You're here. But no, instead, get mad and come up with all your excuses. And they're getting more and more creative. They only happen on Wednesdays and Sundays, though. Look, I'm not stupid. Don't look at me like I'm stupid. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. These aren't little things. Actually, it's all little things, and if you don't do it, you ain't getting anywhere. So a man of God... Listen, friends, you say, oh, no, that. What are you talking about? Listen, to whom's, you have the power here tonight to remit sin. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. You have the power to remit sin. You tell people, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And you're bringing that to the people. And you're not just bringing a cold stone message, but you're bringing that life with you. And they can partake of the very life that's right next to them. Brother Andy, I've often wondered, you know, you feel that all over a person, and you feel that presence. But why do you feel it? Because you got it. And you're feeling the same thing that you have on this other person. Right. Why? Because it's right there. Amen. Waiting to bless that other person. Amen. If they'll only repent. That's right. Amen. But no, we'll come to church. Oh, well, he says I ought to come to church. I hate that. Well, how can I help you then? Are you getting help out there? Well, you know, I'm hearing all your sob stories, how miserable you are, how depressed, and this happened and that happened. Well, yeah, if you're going to spend all your time out there in the world, I'd be depressed too. Look, I'm going to pound. I don't care. It's only a demon that would be bothered by this. You're a happy people. Well, I love this. I'm just not the emotional type. You're a liar. You are emotional. It's just that church doesn't get you excited. Something does. I'm going to preach. How are we going to move forward with all this heavy, wet blanket? Person next to me hates me. This one, this one, that. I hate that, don't you? I hate that. Let's stand against it. Let's stand against them gossiping, dying, lying, going to hell devils. They're unhappy. I would be too if I was headed for hell. But I'm not. I'm heaven bound. I'm going to dine with the King. I'm going to sit with him in his throne. I'm going to travel like a thought. Oh, that's so depressing. There's just no hope for you. Just to be free from sin. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe some of us just need to repent. Stop our lying. Just the burden of sin being lifted from you. Brother William. Amen. That brother, just about every service, oh, you don't know what that meant to me. And I just wanted to tell you. Well, I believe it. That's what it's for. That's why it was sent. You're not supposed to go out of here depressed. You're supposed to go out of here happy. You're supposed to go out of here with your head high, your shoulders back. You're supposed to go out of here, where is that devil? I'm sick and tired of that guy. Yeah. So a man of God will stand and offer you a way out. But it's up to you to receive what you're being instructed to do in order to stay the wrath of God. So this message instructs the ministry to preach the word and to be instant in season, obligating them to cry out when sin is in the camp without respect of friend or favor. Sin is sin. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost this evening, you want that to be the case. And if you're wrong in a certain area and it's brought to your attention, you thank the Lord for it. You don't go out of here with a chip on your shoulder. Well, that's why I skip church. It's because I'm always getting preached at. Well, why don't you repent then? That's the whole purpose of it. It's not to send you to hell. You're going to hell anyway. It's to save you. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm feeling the pull from this first row here. We got some... Army guys over here, some Secret Service agents or whatever. They're like, yeah, that's right, you know. Yeah, we're not following some dead God, some dead church, and hearing stories of some dead people. We have a living God in a living church. Some of you ought to be ashamed of yourself, the lies you tell about why you miss church. I'm going to tell a story again. I don't know who originated it because it's been told so many times and so many people take credit for it. I don't care. It just sounds good, though. The pastor, somebody came up to the pastor to give him an excuse for why they weren't at church. And the pastor said, peanut butter. And they said, what are you talking about? Peanut butter. I was out of peanut butter. That's why you weren't here. You're out of peanut butter. Well, why would that matter? Well, one excuse is as good as another. You do what you want to do. Why is it that all the things that you do during the week doesn't You weren't kept from doing any of those things. It's just church. Because the devil's squirming, that's why. And I firmly want to see everybody that's battling that, I want to see them set free. And I believe they can be set free. But not if they don't come to church. This is where you're getting operated on. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. Don't you love him? Isn't he good to us? Ain't God good? Some of you are frowning. Get that frown off your face before I slap you. We're not supposed to do that. Okay, a gospel slap then, okay? Numbers 16:49. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. Friends, there are people. Do you realize that's happening right now? Thousands are dying that stood against what they once followed. They're dying. As in dead, as in done, as in over. There's no way you could go back to slop after feasting on this unless you're dead. I started to tell something this morning and I went off on a tangent. That's nothing new, but there's a guy who's a disbelieve the signer making YouTube stuff. And there's people coming out of another church that's Catholicism perfected. They got a pope and everything else. And this guy is attacking that guy. And so that guy's attacking back. And so the disbelieve the sign guy wants that guy, that pastor, to apologize. It's like you're both idiots. What does that have to do with Christianity? You don't believe anything. And you're exposing him because your people are leaving instead of just taking care of them. I demand an apology. You're an idiot. You don't believe the message and you're demanding an apology. You're dead. There is a line. And there are some that have crossed the line. $14,700? Listen, friends, this is a shadow. A shadow has a realization. So if this is a shadow, there's a real fulfilling of this. And we're here. We're just about to cross over, and that's when this took place. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. One man. It wasn't Moses' job to do this. But it was Aaron's job. Aaron, under his messenger, preached the people into a body change. He preached death out of the camp. It's the very ministry of Christ among the people. Friends, if Christ, Brother Branham said, when are we ever going to take these quotes seriously? He said the ministry will come so close to the capstone that it'll be just like it. Why? Because it's the same head. The flesh is not the capstone. The flesh is not Christ. The ministry. And you're the one that needs to figure out that you're the one that operates it. that guy's figured it out. That girl's figured it out. This young man, it's breaking on him. This is supernatural. Once you operate that, once you figure that out, turn the key, then you can set the man aside. And you can look to God and say, God, this is my problem today. Sister Friedman, so nice to see her. I guess you two had fellowship last night, right? So, Sister Naomi said, you know, just watch. Some of the things we talked about tonight, you're going to hear about it tomorrow. Did it happen? Sister Friedman's like, oh. She was pretty happy. Now, did I know that? Did we talk? Do I need to know that? Do I have anything to do with it? The only thing I have to do with it is to get out of the way. And the only thing you have to get to do with it is to pull. That's how God is going to speak to you. Then it takes me out of the picture, it takes you out of the picture, and Christ is in the middle. Let's go out of this triumphant, friends. Let's go out of this as a powerhouse. Let's go out of this as conquerors. Let's go out of this as the powerful church of the living God. If there was power there under the blood of bulls and goats, where is it tonight? So it wasn't Moses' job to do this, it was Aaron's job. And it was the very ministry of Christ amongst the people, under the blood of bulls and goats. Friends, Moses must have been so confident in the word that he stands there in the door of the congregation waiting for Aaron to fulfill his part of the ministry. And he's not nervous. He's not saying, now, I got to do this. I'm the amigo. And what I say goes, amigo, okay. I'll tell you what, friends. I want to have a ministry that produces what the prophet preached. And I want a people that are the manifestation of the message that the prophet preached. Because the message is you. It's calling you. Your name. I want a message or a ministry that produces a people that match the message of the messenger. So if you want to begrudge me that ministry, then I'm going to begrudge you being the manifestation. Isn't that fair? Oh, you're trying to take the prophet's place. Oh, you're trying to be the message that he preached. Both of those statements are stupid. Guess that's my favorite word tonight. Sometimes you just got to say it. What? Why would God send a prophet with a message? What was the purpose? You. Why would he equip the ministry? Why would he give us this 7-course meal? Why would God continue to send gifts unto men? To edify, to minister, to bring us to maturity, to bring us to the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Aaron, literally, think about this shadow tonight, friends. Aaron's ministry holds back the death angel. Keeps death from striking this family and that family and this one. Brother Baker, join me in prayer for my loved one. I sure will. You better believe I will. Aaron. Aaron stands between life and death. Death is in the land. There's death in the land tonight. But there's life here too. And he's offering the people a way out of the judgment that's falling on the world. Brother Andy, I'm just convinced that's where we're standing tonight. God is playing this out in real time. This is not a shadow any longer. You're seeing the fullness of the manifestation of it. The plague of spiritual death was moving among the people. But one man makes an atonement through the presenting of the token life and the preaching of the word. Isn't that what we're doing? The pillar of fire was with him, and the incense of intercessory prayer as he ran among the people as an intercessor. Screams of death were in the camp, but the ministry was running among the people. Friends, the same thing's happening tonight. There are screams of death in the camp, but the ministry is screaming out, there's a way out. Amen. Just come to church and I'll tell you. There's a way out. There's a way to have hope. There's nothing that's come your way that can't be overcome. Amen. Let me repeat that word tonight. Nothing. Amen. Somebody say the word tonight. Nothing. Amen. There's nothing that you're facing tonight that can't be overcome. Amen. So if you want to put that excuse card down once and for all and quit using this excuse and that excuse for why you're living in that condition, you can put it down tonight. And you can be free. The power is here tonight. The life is here tonight. The life that was in that blood cell can set you free. But you've got to surrender. You've got to say, I'm ready, I'm willing. Let the death angel pass. There are those that are leaving the message with a scream, and they call that scream a freedom scream. But to a Holy Spirit trained ear, it's a scream of death. We're not the judges of men in terms of we're not judging their ultimate destination. We are extending mercy. We are going among our families. We are going among our neighbors, offering mercy, offering life, offering deliverance. Instead of coming up for prayer about how bad the conditions are at work, why don't you get an attitude and recognize I'm the high priest that was sent to that job site. God sent me there to offer mercy. And it's time that I grow up. It's time that I take that token and apply it. It's time that I start changing the atmosphere. It's time for me to quit complaining about all the nasty atmosphere that's around me here and there. It's time for me to start creating one. It's time for me to go and create that atmosphere everywhere that I go. And it's time for me to make them uncomfortable. If there's somebody going to be uncomfortable, they should be uncomfortable. It's time for you to be comfortable. It's time for you to be at rest, to be at peace, confident. It's time for you to recognize that you are a son of God, a daughter of God. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than able. There's nothing devised against you that will prosper. It's time for you to recognize you're a God of the earth. You were not sent here to be tormented. You're a tormentor now. You should be tormenting the gates of hell. Amen. You should be giving depression a hard time. I'm showing you how tonight. You should be giving discouragement a hard time. You should be giving bad news a hard time. You should be giving cancer a hard time. You should make cancer so uncomfortable that it goes somewhere else. Amen. It's the life is here, friends. This word is power. And this anointed word preached, it still casts out devils. And it still saves. And it still delivers. It still heals the sick. It still encourages. When we separate ourselves only unto Him, and remember, separate yourself unto the Word, that's our title. When we separate ourselves only unto Him, there's nothing that He will refuse you. So if you're going around depressed, you're not in His presence. You have separated yourself from Him. Yeah, and you're listening to a devil. And that devil has got you convinced that you're the devil. It took me a little while to learn that, but you learn as you grow. It took me a little while to realize that when those feelings come upon me, that they aren't really my feelings. That I don't want to be that way. That I don't actually feel that way. It's a demon. Then once you recognize it, you say, no way. I ain't putting up with this. We are spiritual beings and we're fighting a spiritual battle. Friends, I've had the experience of driving from one town to the next and feeling different anointings come in one town that I don't feel in another. And that anointing comes on you and says, hey, this is your idea. And you're like, no, it isn't. I wasn't thinking that in the last town or the town before. This is another spirit that I'm dealing with. And depression is one of the most deceptive devils that there is. Because it convinces you that it has a right to stay. It's always looking for an excuse to stay. It's the conditions of your life. It's because of this. It's because of that. No, it isn't. It's a devil. Paul said, the secret that I found is whatever condition that you're in, to be content. Godliness with contentment is gain. And it's possible tonight, friends. Don't let that devil lie to you. Well, if I just had a little more money. No, money is not going to make you happy. If I just had a few more friends. No, you don't have friends because you're depressed all the time. And nobody wants to be around that. Come on, friends. Can't we just be honest here tonight? So then you say, well, if I could just have some friends, I wouldn't be depressed. No, if you just weren't depressed, you'd have friends. You've got it twisted around. Well, how can I get undepressed? How could you be depressed when Christ has delivered you? He's saved you. He's walking with you. He's given you peace. He's given you rest. You found out you were going to hell, but now you're going to eternity. That you're going to a wedding supper. That you're going to have a change of a body that will never ache or sorrow or hurt or get tired. You're going to travel like a thought. Yeah, I see why you're depressed. I know this is just for that one person that's streaming tonight. God bless you. Let's help them out tonight, okay? I'm dealing with spirits. It's His good pleasure, friends, to give you the things of the kingdom. To give you your family. God wants to give you your family. Oh, God wants me to. Well, if I got to lose my family, I'm willing. Well, you do got to be willing to walk with God no matter what. But you got power to claim Him. Come on, high priest. Who do you want to make it? He will give you your family and everything that belongs to you. Yes, God is going to give you more than you ever gave up. You're not going to owe Him. He's not going to owe you anything. That's what that depression spirit says. Well, must Jesus bear the cross alone? You're going to get over there. Well, Lord, where's my first place prize. I should get the biggest one because I endured so much. you owe me. He's going to look at you and think, I did this for you and that, and you just sat around and left it on the table. I gave you all these gifts and you left them wrapped up, and you're an idiot. My favorite word tonight. Or was it stupid? Come on, friends. You know how they train an elephant for the circus? When the elephant's a baby, they take a chain and they put it around its ankle and they drive a stake down into the ground and tie that chain to that stake, and the small elephant is not strong enough to pull the stake out of the ground. So after a while, just like our cat's learning that you bite, you're going into the bathroom, they'll learn. I can't believe that cat. I've never seen anything like it. I like him, but I hate him too. You know what his latest thing is? He looks at you and he wants to jump on you. I never had a cat in my life that did that. He always wants to go up. It started with Sister Baker opening up the refrigerator. Well, of course, he's got to see what's in the refrigerator too. He has to actually go in there. But then he started jumping on her back. Well, then it didn't stop there. Now he gets on the counter. Now he jumps on you. And so I come into the kitchen. She told me about that. And I seen that look on his face. I'm like, no. He's looking at me and he's... I'm in the foyer and he catches me off guard. There's a table there. He gets up on that table. Next thing I know, he's on my shoulder. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. He's trying to relax you. Thank you. Ella Funt. After a while, that baby elephant says, I can go this far and I feel this tug on my ankle. I can't go any further. So as the elephant gets bigger and older, they replace that stake in the ground with this little bitty iron ball. I'm sure the iron ball weighs something, you know. I'm sure there's a little bit of effort to drag it around. But a big elephant could drag that all down. I got a painting that I brought back from Burma with elephants dragging logs behind them, teak logs from the rainforest. Think they can't drag that little ball around? Why don't they? Because they don't believe they can. That's like somebody getting saved, set free, and they don't know they're free. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be a loser. You don't have to be unhappy. Come on, friends. How many knows that tonight? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't put up with it.
That's right.
Just get whoever is that way, get them so isolated that all they're ever going to see is positive from you. They're not going to get any mercy. They're not going to get any... Oh, you poor little thing. Don't play that game. They're not a poor little thing. That's a lie. You're enabling that. Why am I going this way, Oscar Mark? Because it's helping this guy. Yeah. And it's helping this guy. And it's helping you. Yeah. And it's helping that guy. Right? You can put yourself in that place. Yeah, there's a purpose to this. We don't choose what's been given to us. I didn't ask to be a military brat. I didn't ask to move every time I made a friend, you know. Hear people whining about, I don't have a friend. I couldn't keep a friend. Lived in 11 different states. We moved all the time. Once you make a friend, then you move. You got to do it over again. But I ain't whining about it. I didn't let it keep me down. I'm not playing the martyr. And I could use that as an excuse card. I didn't ask for that. But by the same token, no matter what condition that I was raised up under, there's power to make the difference. There's a life to make the difference. Otherwise, Christianity is all about whether you were raised wealthy or in a nice home or had both parents or, right? It ain't about that. It's about Christ in you. And he can change your situation. He's bringing comfort to the widows. Right? Something's happening here tonight. I'm happy. So there's a ministry on the scene tonight, friends, that under their messenger are finishing the work at the end of the ages. We are the finishers of the race. And we're putting the finishing touches on the masterpiece by the hand of the master. But every one of us that hold that token life are called to intercede on behalf of our loved ones. And on behalf of anybody that we can get under the shed blood or under this token life. And this message is being vindicated tonight by the fact that you're not being overcome. And it will culminate in the greatest of all vindications when thousands of us experience a body change. Thousands. Somebody say thousands. You see why Satan is so desperate? He wants to keep us from that dimension. Too late. An entrance has been ministered. A way has been provided. Our hearts have been turned. The message has been delivered. Christ is amongst us. The secret weapon is here. And Satan can't stand against it. It'll defeat him anytime, any place, under any circumstance. It'll change your situation. We are fighting some of your devils tonight. And we're glad to do it. Glad to lend a hand. And if you'll just surrender, those devils will be cast out. Look, it's not your fault. Demons try to attach themselves to us. You're not being beat on. The devil is. Don't side with him. Oh, he hurt my feet. No, the devil got his feelings hurt. And you're feeling him mope. But you're smiling. Come on, friends. There's power here tonight. You have a down payment on a body change. Your soul's already been changed. A supernatural thing has taken place in your life. And the greatest is yet to come. Because that's a down payment. Brother Merritt, the death angel plague has been held back from you. You believe that? Sister Simmons, the death angel has been held back from you. Do you believe that? Absolutely. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What is the blood? It's that token life. It's the life that was in that blood, living in you. And Satan has to back away. Death has to give way. Sickness must move back. And yes, depression, even though you're ganging up on us, you got to go too. Yeah. It never ceases to amaze me that when you touch on these things, that people that are struggling with it want to run away from it. Listen, if I had, if my arm's bleeding, and I go to the place where they're going to sew your arm up, why would I want to run away from that place when I could get help? There's two possibilities. One, you like that devil. You say, oh, no, that could never be. Yes, it could. You're getting some kind of comfort from it. Nursing it. It's feeding some kind of a complex. But if you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's got to go. And there's enough power here tonight to drive it out. I'm just using that as one example. That applies to anything here tonight, friends. You believe that?
Yes.
I'm preaching to believers. We deserve death, every one of us. But somebody offered us an atonement that was purchased for us 2,000 years ago. What are we offering here tonight, friends? Sheep beget sheep. How are people going to receive that life? They're going to receive it from somebody else. Right? They have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Well, how can we hear except someone is sent? This is good news. I'm just going to touch on this. I'm going to give it one more try. Okay? If you only knew what other people were going through, your pity party would end. Because I guarantee you, in this building tonight, there are people with smiles on their face that have been through much worse than you've ever been through. And they're smiling. And you're looking at them thinking, oh, they got easy street. That's why they're smiling. No, they're just not stupid. There's that word again. They're taking advantage of their salvation. They're taking advantage of what Calvary purchased for them. The Son has set them free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. They've shaken that ball and chain. They're not dragging it around. They're not even feeling the tug of it any longer. Amen. They're free. Amen. And you can be free tonight, friends. From whatever it is. Whatever it might be. Tonight, you can be free. For some people, some people have never, ever come forth for prayer. I pastored them for 20 years. And they've never come forth for prayer. Because there's a fear there. You can be free of that. You don't need to come forth, but you don't need to be afraid to. Of course, they'd have to be here tonight to do that. Because you're not afraid. None of you are. Not one of you. Not one. You want all that God has for you.
Yes,
and that's why you're here.
Yes,
and you have great expectations.
Yes,
and you have great hope.
Yes,
and it will be fulfilled.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise
what a time. What an hour. Let's stand. Separate yourself unto the word. See what happens when you spend too much time on a roof? Hallelujah. It's a privilege to live with you, to walk with you. Friends, in one sense, I wish I could show to some of you that are struggling, I wish I could produce a video and show you the mess that I was. In fact, there's people here, Sister Julie. She saw me when I was afraid of my own voice, that my own voice scared me. She saw me when I first started church, and I sang a special, and I had the words, and my hands were growing like this. And Brother Mike is looking at me like, which made me more nervous. That's the power of this blood. If I'm anything tonight, it's because of him. And I ain't what I used to be. And I ain't what I'm going to be yet either. I'm pressing toward it. I'm on my way. I'm pursuing it. I'll reach that goal. Because the one that started this work is going to finish it. I have no exit plan. I have no plan B, no plan C. Body change. That's the only thing that's in my future. In my future is looking death right in the face and telling death, I don't fear you. In fact, I'm going to tell you what to do. Get out of my way. I'm going to step from this body into another body without your assistance. You think it was something with Moses disputing over his body? Well, wait until you see this. Thousands of us. But I understand you're depressed. I get it. You have been, you're part of the greatest drama that was ever written. Living in the greatest hour, the greatest time. Do you realize it's a privilege to be living today? A privilege. We are seeing more and experiencing more in our day than in any other age. In this grand finale. You know that. At a symphony, the greatest part is right at the end a lot of times. At a fireworks display, the greatest part is the grand finale. They just start letting it off and you just can't even take it in. It's just so much, you're overwhelmed. And they call that the grand finale. Well, you're a part of the grand finale. Where all the instruments are sounding all at once. And it's coming to its climax. And it's victory. Amen. Hell is being defeated, swallowed up. Death. Sickness, sorrow, it's all coming to an end, friends.
Amen.
Redemption is coming to an end,
yes.
Coming to completion.
Amen.
And you're privileged to be living in this time.
Amen.
You could have lived in the Dark Ages where you had one word from the Bible and the rest was Latin from some priest, right? You had one word to live by. And die a martyr's death. But look at the age that you're living in.
Right.
Don't let this pass you by.
Amen.
You know what our problem is? Is that I won't close. Our problem is we compare ourselves with one another. We compare ourselves with what's going on around us. And we don't realize how what we're experiencing compares with any other age, because we never experienced any other age. But believe me when I tell you tonight, nothing has been spared from you or withheld from you. No good thing. If we're in Satan's Eden and Satan's given it his best shot, then God has to be given it his best shot. And we've read the book that tells us who wins and who loses. So how is that not the greatest? God has confidence in you. Because he knows what he put in you. And you're learning it. You're finding it out. Yeah, I don't like the trials either, but they show us what we're made of. We find out that there's more in us than we ever imagined.
Lord.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for the shadows that you've placed in your word so that in due season, Lord, that you would quicken these things to us and show us what the fulfillment is going to look like in due season. And here we are living in the time of the fulfillment of so many of these shadows. They've been laying there for thousands of years, lived out 3,400 years ago by people that had no idea that we would ever exist, or the kind of day that we would be living in, and that the pillar of fire would no longer be hanging over a tabernacle in the wilderness, but it would be divided, separated, and it would be living in individual tabernacles that are not made with hands. And that the life that would be lived out in this hour would be a greater life than Moses lived. A great man, a gifted man, a God-called man, a prophet. Yet under the blood of bulls and goats. He didn't have the new birth because he was believing unto it. But we saw him disobey. We saw him get angry. We saw him, you told him to speak to the rock and he smote it twice. Kept him out of the land. He's a gifted man, a called man, a saved man in his era, his dispensation. But there's a greater way to the life that he came into contact with that anointed him is now living behind veiled skins or veils of skin. It's now living in the hearts of born again sons and daughters of God. Satan never in his wildest imagination thought that he would face an army like this. But he's suffering his final defeat as Lucifer and Michael are battling it out here in the end time. And we know that Christ is the victor. Father, I just pray that you move upon each and every heart. I pray that, Lord, we don't need to maybe experience an earthquake, but a good shaking wouldn't hurt. A good shaking in our lives to cause us to recognize just where we're at, what's taking place around us, who's with us, what's been promised to us. We've been shown the visions over and over and the prophecies in the scripture. And it's to show us that this is speaking of us and what's going to be lived out through us and by us. But if we fail to recognize it, how is it going to take place in our lives? We have to find ourselves in the volume of the book. And then it's just a matter of surrendering and saying, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm only going to believe. All things are possible to those that believe. I pray that you move upon each and every heart. Father, you've just put it in our hearts. I have resigned myself to try to avoid certain things because I know how it must sound a human ear sometimes. Even my own mental faculties is critical or confused with what you put in my heart sometimes. But Lord, when I let go and let you have your way, I see the direction that you go. And Lord, I certainly sense the things that you're targeting. And I believe that victory is in the camp. I believe, Lord, that we're going to go to higher heights and greater depths. I believe that we're going to see a greater glory. amongst the people, that you will be glorified once again in a body. Now, Father, we just love you. We appreciate you. We're so thankful. I pray that each and every one would be encouraged, Lord. We know that your word is sent to set us free. It's not to condemn us. It's not to beat us down. Lord, if we'll let it cut, it'll set us free. It'll separate unbelief from faith. And when that unbelief is cut away, it allows us to rise higher, to move into the higher realms, to become the manifestation of the things that you've already declared. Bless each and every one, Lord. Father, may we turn a corner as a body. I'm not talking about as individuals. I'm talking about as a body, Lord. May we take a step higher. May we intercede on behalf of each other. Lord, if we see people struggling with different things, may we stand in the gap. May we offer the incense with our token and our prayers and believe that it's going to make a difference. May we see Jesus in our midst. May we see a greater manifestation of your presence, to where even the demons are trembling. They're fearful. That our worship drives away depression, drives away discouragement, drives away sickness. That even before the word coming forth, the demons are trembling. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? We know that that's the hour. We know that that's the what's available and what we've been called to walk in. And that's what we want to see manifested. Let thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And that is your word. That is your will. I pray that each one would be encouraged. I pray that each one would be strengthened. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would go higher. That all of this would result in us walking closer to you and dedicating ourselves in a greater measure to you, Lord, and to your work, and to your will. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We believe you, Lord. Help our unbelief. Amen. Lord, bring whatever word needs to come to drive away all unbelief so that your word will have preeminence. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The words to that song. I don't know the name.